Want to introduce myself real quick. My name is Pastor Jeremy Bannister. I am the lead pastor here at Heights Christian Church. And one of the things that we do different here at Heights is that we go through the Bible in 5 years period of time. And how we do that is that we read the scriptures together as a congregation Monday through Saturday. And then on Sunday, our sermon is taken in whole or in part from the passage of scripture that we've read. And the reason we do that is twofold. Number one is so that we might become biblically literate, knowing what the Word of God said. The early Christians were known as people of the Word, and we want to be known as the same, knowing what the Word of God says so that we can tell other people about good news. And that good news is that of Jesus, because we believe that the thread of redemption found in Jesus Christ is seen from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. And therefore, by knowing the Word of God better ourselves, we're going to be able to share better the good news of Jesus to the world around us. Amen? So that's what we do here at Heights. And if you'd like to join us, here's a great thing. If you get to join us by joining what we're doing, by reading the same things that we're reading, we have a booklet that's available. Bobby usually has one. She's got it right there. You can get those over at the information desk. They're free. Please go take one. But by next week, you will be caught up with us as a congregation, reading the same scriptures we're reading, hearing the same message we're hearing as well, and beginning to see Jesus throughout the scriptures. And we really invite you and look forward to you joining us with that. You can also join us by going to heightschristian.org. Go to the Visit tab, and then there is a button where you can view or download that exact same booklet, PDF form, on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer. That way you have it with you all the time. And right now we're in the book of Psalms, which we're reading the Psalms not 1 through 150, which are the number of Psalms that there are, but by category. And so we've been stepping into that section of Scripture, learning the different types of songs that were there for the people of Israel to worship God with. And we're going to be jumping into that again today with other of those Psalms. How many of you read this week? Raise your hand. Woohoo! All right. Yeah, you better have read. My goodness. Let's pray for him. All right, so we have a treat today. Levi Green is going to come and share the message of God to us, and so thankful for him. So why don't you come on up, Levi, and share with us what God has prepared on your heart.
There we go. Can you all hear me okay? All right. Shout out to Kelly for the title, Sheeping It Real for today's sermons. Before I get into the sermon, I just want to introduce myself. My name is Levi Green. I've been to Heights here with the family for a few years now. Having gone through Pastor Jeremy's two-year discipleship program and getting ready to step into Cross Christian Fellowship to just grow my faith and understanding of what my role as a man is. Both to the community, but first and foremost to my family. So, thank you very much for this opportunity. As we got into this week's readings of Psalms, includes 11, 23, 27, 62, 63, and 91. And the Psalms in this week's readings are Psalms of Trust. And as you read this week, you'll have seen a theme in how David sought refuge in the presence of our Lord, the Good Shepherd. When David found the opposition to be relentless, he understood the importance in basing his faith and pursuing God. See, David puts all things aside, and he understood the hearts of so many who use and pursue the desires of their own hearts. He proclaims that he will only trust in God and no other. David knew of his faith to be dependent upon God and God alone. For no other earthly person or deity of this world could provide protection of any man in a world fallen to sin. So I see above all this, David constantly proclaims that he will bless the Lord, he will speak of God's faithfulness, and he praises God's protection upon him. So this is a man who knows God. With the inspiration found within David's writings, I sought after another leader who fell under these criteria. Someone who led a people into battles, guided a people with discernment, and had a pursuit to lead his people to know God. So I got a short list here, some runner-ups I'd like to run through before we go through the individual we picked. So Julius Sturgis, he was our runner-up. He became America's first commercial pretzel bakery in Lititz, Pennsylvania. They're still producing pretzels today, over 160 years in business. And the motivation here was that the pretzel was designed by early European monks with the shape and the design of the pretzel. It was a snack for the children, and it mimicked the arms in prayer. Got a couple honorable mentions in here. Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys, oil tycoon. We can hate all we want, but at the end of the day, he became a leader in building the NFL's only America's team. Am I right, Beetle? Another runner-up or other honorable mentions is Jeremy Bannister for leading our church here at Heights with the elders. That's where I started out, too, until I realized he was a Atlanta Falcons fan. I just couldn't get past it. I mean, it's the Dirty Birds, right? Woof. Being an Atlanta Falcons fan takes a little bit of faith, but two appearances and two losses, that's not much of a leap there, right? And the last honorable mention was a three-way tie between Dathan, Craig, and Hunter. Cleveland Browns fans, that's some faith, right? Three AFC championship, but never a ticket to the big show. Never really made it. That's some faith. The only record that I could find with Cleveland was that they had the most playoff appearances without a Super Bowl appearance. That's a roller coaster and quite commendable. However, putting the jokes aside, I'd like to discuss a point of truth here. Finding a leader with a mindset for purposes greater than oneself is an experience I recommend for everyone. I, with some help, landed on General George Washington in support of mending the fiber of this country back together just after its 250th birthday. And I'll say it, we have, as a country, ran away from the Founding Fathers' beliefs and core values recorded in almost every document that shaped this country. See, George Washington was not a born leader. He was shaped through years of adversity, strife, losses, and failures in his leadership role. As written in the Christian Broadcasting Network, referencing the film Young Washington, we read that through faith and a belief greater than himself, General George Washington was molded into a respected leader. Some could even say a great shepherd of a nation. This was achieved through constant prayer, repentance, and faith in God. John Irwin, the producer, states, "It was profoundly moving to me that Washington was not forged in success. He was forged in failure, hardship, tough lessons, loss, and risk. And yet he endured, and he kept going, and he kept trying, and he learned, and he kind of assimilated from some of the difficult things he experienced. And I thought that that was such a profound lesson, like, keep going." Another article found references the prayer of George Washington and how it shapes the country even today. This prayer was during the encampment at Valley Forge. See, the great founders of this country had already broken free of Great Britain's rule, as we know of this in July of 1776. However, the army was weak, battle-torn, their supplies were raided, they were freezing in harsh, cold weather, missing clothing, and hanging on by a thin thread. There's a painting which reflects Washington turning not to his leaders or other soldiers, but to God in prayer, to give him and his soldiers the will to keep going. Further into this article, Carlos Campos, PhD and CEO of the Museum of the Bible says, Washington is the most powerful upon his knees. That's what he knows because he is bowing to a greater power that can infuse him with true leadership. Campos later goes on to state that although there were many other influences shaping the founding principles of our nation, nothing, and there's not even a close second, had the influence as the power of Scripture. To close this point, some leaders are built with the lessons given to them, and others are built through being that lesson. This article quotes a story told through Ben Carson, the former U.S. Secretary of Housing and Development. He goes on to tell the story of a 23-year-old Washington who had been shot by an expert marksman in the Battle of Monongahela. And this is in July of 1755, many years before the fight for independence in Great Britain. With Great Britain, excuse me. As quoted from the article, we read, he was shot by an expert marksman and survived. In a letter to his younger brother, John, the future president wrote, by the all-powerful dispensations of Providence, I have been protected beyond all human probability and expectation. For I had 4 bullets through my coat and 2 horses shot under me, yet escaped unhurt, although death was leveling my companions at every side. Carson later says that he realizes that God has saved him for a reason. And years later, he was in the same area before he became president, and one of the Indian chiefs who had been involved in the war heard about it and asked to be brought to where Washington was. When he reached Washington, he said, sir, I just needed to meet you because I'm an expert marksman. I shot you 17 times and my men shot you. And pretty soon, I told them to stop wasting their bullets. I knew this is a man who's protected by the great spirit above, and I just wanted to see you before I died, knowing that you would become the father of a great nation. This article closes with this. So Washington did what he knew was demanded by Scripture, to pray without ceasing, and to know these words of Scripture. And if my people who bear my name humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. So 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. This was the faithful action of prayer in which we were founded upon. What a proclamation to make. Through his lessons in life and constant prayer, Washington was a firm believer that this was a way for all to overcome the valleys that we are faced with. That should resonate with each one of us. I want to take a moment now and briefly discuss an introduction to David. There's always something that strikes me when David's name is brought up. I've always wondered, why is it stated with regards to David that he was called a man after God's own heart? And in preparation of this sermon, I did some homework to understand this question for myself better. Here's the takeaway. David is called a man after God's own heart, not because he lived perfectly, but because he lived honestly, dependently, and wholeheartedly before God. Trusting him as shepherd, submitting to his correction, and returning to him in repentance. See, David's actions themselves were not the reason for this moniker. His actions of repentance with his whole heart were. In David's life, he spent roughly half of his years as a shepherd, tending to flocks and herds, and the other half as a king. He's also noted as a poet and a musician. Here's some key takeaways regarding David's character as a man after God's own heart. The first point, David desired God above all else. David's life shows a relentless pursuit of God's presence. Even as a shepherd boy, he learned to trust God while living and working in solitude, danger, and through worship. We will find the same foundational theme of trust today, which was expressed and recorded by David many years ago in Psalm 23, which will be our main focus today. We will see shortly as we read, David first acknowledges that God is his shepherd. Secondly, David needs nothing that does not come from him. This desire for God is echoed throughout the Psalms he wrote, especially the Psalms in this week's readings of Psalms of Trust. Our second point is that David trusted God in every season. From shepherding the fields to leading men in battlefields to sitting on the throne, David consistently returned to trust in God. And I want to emphasize first, David's role as a shepherd. This was not an easy task. Shepherds are fighting off wild beasts seeking to destroy these sheep who could not protect themselves. We should also mention that thieves looking to steal the animals on top of it. The role of a shepherd is where sheep oftentimes must be guided safely to the pasture in order to graze. Now, I don't want to oversell a point here, but you're sent out into the wild with hundreds of animals not fit to defend themselves and given a stick to handle any beast that hasn't been or hasn't eaten or had a meal in a while. And it wasn't just animals looking to destroy the flock either. If you think battling wild beasts with a stick is manageable, what's your thought on fighting off thieves from attempting to steal members of the flock? This is the beginning of God molding David into a protector of his people. Someone who leads with authority, discernment, humbleness, and mental acuity. All these traits of a shepherd begins to show us the heart of a man after God's own heart. We find through these writings of David that peace is not a product of perfect circumstances, but peace is the result of following the shepherd. See, David trusted God. During his time as a shepherd, he comes into contact with Goliath, steps to the plate with a sling and a few rocks. He defeats Goliath. Later down the road, flees Saul for several years. Later becomes king, goes into battlefields, fighting wars. And shortly thereafter, he falls to sin with Bathsheba, then murders Uriah, her husband, loses his born son from Bathsheba to death, falls to his own pride, and calls for a census of Israel, doing everything against God and failing to himself in every account. So this trust is why Psalm 23 resonates so deeply to our battles. These battles we face in the flesh are truly battles of the spirit. David's writings speak as a man who has learned to rely on God in every valley. So our third point, David repented quickly and fully. David sinned grievously. Scripture doesn't hide it, but what set him apart was his response to sin. As one note of this, we can recall that during the tail end of his military campaigns, the affair with Bathsheba occurs, and when confronted, David didn't justify, he didn't minimize, or he didn't deflect. He broke. He confessed and he returned to God. A heart after God is not a heart that never fails. It's a heart that never stays far away from him. Remember this and what it means. Our fourth point, David worshiped with honesty and vulnerability. David's Psalms reveal a man who brought everything to God, his fear, anger, joy, confusion, his praise, and most importantly, his repentance. To be the man who David was, we see that we must live with that same emotional honesty. When we become led by the Holy Spirit, we are led away from anxiety, fear, and spiritual exhaustion. David's worship wasn't performance. It was an earnest relationship intentionally being built because he knew he could not live his life without God, which is why we can call on the next point of David's character. David submitted to God's leadership. Even as king, David saw himself as a sheep under a shepherd. Psalm 23 begins with, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have what I need." This is the heart of the matter. David never believed he was the ultimate authority. He lived under God's rule, God's correction, and God's guidance. This leads us to today's sermon, which is titled, Sheepin' It Real. As I mentioned today, we're going to be focused on Psalm 23. This is a psalm known by many and often referenced in many songs, both secular and praise and worship songs. And I want to emphasize here that Psalm 23 is not a psalm for people who have it all together. It is a psalm for people who have been through something. People who know what it feels like to walk through valleys, face enemies, and carry burdens too heavy to name. See, as David shares this wisdom with us, we clearly see, as we read Psalm 23 shortly, David begins with confidence and not crisis. He begins with assurance and not anxiety. He begins with the shepherd. Today I want to walk us through this psalm under three simple headings. The shepherd who provides, the shepherd who is present, and the shepherd who pursues. If you understand these three truths provided to us by our Lord and Savior, you can face anything life brings. Our first point is the shepherd who provides. Psalm 23, 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. David doesn't start with what he lacks. He starts with who he has. This is personal and this is relational. This is covenant language in which he, David, lacks nothing essential. He lets me lie down in green pastures. This is where sheep only lie down when they feel safe. See, God is not driving you. He's settling you. He leads me beside quiet waters. These aren't rushing waters. They're not chaotic waters. They're quiet waters, the kind of water that sheep instinctively trust. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. God's guidance is not random. He leads with purpose, and he leads with wisdom. He leads us for the sake of his name, his reputation, his covenant faithfulness. We can all grow weary and tired, and contrary to our beliefs sometimes, God doesn't discard us and leave us out to manage the burdens on our own. Instead, he is there to guide us. We just need to put our egos and prides down in order to see it. Then we can live through God's peace that he offers us so abundantly. A point of truth here is that when the Lord is your shepherd, lack cannot define you. Because his provision sustains you. As you lean into his way of life, you will be shown the provision God has for each and every one of us. I'm not saying that we will have all that we ask for, nor am I saying that we will have peace given to us in abundance as the world gives. John 14, 27 states, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives." So with this, don't let your heart be troubled or fearful. We have been given this promise, and we get to carry that with us all through our days. See, when we will be challenged to accept that peace and provision through fulfillment in what God has for us, we will be given the pasture with a peaceful water and never be thirsty should we accept the Lord is with us to sustain us. Our security is not dependent on our own strength, but on the character of God. We go to John 7, 37 and 38. We read that on the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him." Our second point, the shepherd who is present, Psalm 23, 4. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. David does not say if, he says when. Valleys are not optional, but the fear is. See, this is the beginning of the testament to our relationship with God. When we step into these valleys of darkness, do we remember that our Savior is there with us, or do we begin to question all the what ifs? And do we fall into desperation? Do we begin seeking our own springs of water so that we don't die of thirst? Are the walls too steep for us to be able to tread out? How am I going to overcome this? Or do we stay on the path and trust Jesus is with us? No matter the valley, no matter the duration, we must remember the professions from Jesus. And God speaking to Isaiah, proclaiming that he is the first and the last, Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you, and I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. In the Great Commission, Jesus states in Matthew 28:20, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and remember I am with you always to the very end of the age. We read in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, keep your life free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or abandon you. Therefore, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? John 14, verses 18 through 21. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will live too. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. The one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and reveal myself to him. Going back to Psalm 23:4, it finishes with, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, the rod protects, the staff guides, both reassure. God does not promise a life without valleys. He promises us with a shepherd in the valley. Point of truth here is that his presence may not remove the valley, but it removes the fear inside it should we trust in his protection. As we just read from the Old Testament to the New Testament, our shepherd has not changed. His promise still holds true today. We will have highs and lows in life. Unfortunate events will happen to many of us. As we just referenced in a few other places, we have our shepherd with us always, a shepherd that guides with a rod and staff. This is David acknowledging that he accepts God's provision and guidance. Sin of the flesh pulls us away from God. However, the Spirit of God that lives in us calls us to repent. The character of God is as a good shepherd and guides us with rod and staff. We step into the third bullet here, the shepherd who pursues. So Psalm 23, 5 and 6, our last point. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Overflow here is not about quantity. It's about God's generosity. He doesn't give you barely enough. He gives you more than enough. And this is for us to share with others. We are gifted life through Christ and love to give to others, regardless our trials and where we are with them. See, when God is in our hearts, no matter the troubles we are facing, we become a reflection of who God made us to be, which is his children. I want to pause for a moment here and talk about an experience I had a couple of months ago. I've been dealing with some grief, having lost my father unexpectedly, and trying to work through what I had experienced in my life over these past few months. After sharing my life secrets with this trained professional, I was told, would you be surprised to know you have PTSD? And I said, welcome to the show, doc. And that was my immediate response. And I smile because the experiences that I have encountered in my life is not for the faint of heart. Yet I know my life is the least of the worst of what can be in this world. See, what used to be normal in my life has completely changed. This is only through knowing that my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ . What I want you all to know is that it's not that I don't struggle, but my struggle now is between my flesh and spirit. This is a battle of the spirit, and I know this because sometimes what I know and what I want to do is not godly. However, first, I must be reminded I need to go to the cross. My flesh does not immediately go to a godly mindset. It goes to what I have endured and what I am capable of doing on my own. My point is this, that in all these points that we just discussed, had I not known Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and put these burdens upon him, I'd be in the middle of the darkness that we, believers of Christ, are called to fight against. I would not be able to smile knowing that I have these valleys throughout the entirety of my life. Yet here I stand smiling because I know he's with me always. The valleys I walk in daily will never stop. I still fall. I still stray. I still hurt as I am still a man of the flesh. However, I'm never alone. I'm never without. Do not expect them to stop, as we always have valleys to walk through. And I could promise you the pasture will never be appreciated until you come to terms that the valleys are just as important. Let those moments strengthen your heart and build faith in Christ, our Lord and Savior. God is always with us. I want to turn now to Galatians 5 and read verses 15 through 26. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you of these things, as I have warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, nor envying one another. Psalm 23:6 states, only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. See, goodness doesn't follow politely, it chases you down. Mercy doesn't trail behind, it runs after you. My suggestion to everyone here, myself included, is stop running. Sit still. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. See, this is not about a building, it's about a belonging. See, David ends where every believer longs to be, home with God forever. Point of truth here is that we are not chasing God. God is chasing us with goodness and faithful love. I ask you in this context to be a sheep. Let your heart be led by God. Trust in him. We have all witnessed God's relentless love pursuing us and others, even when we feel unworthy, reminding us that his grace is greater than our failures. So, church, before we close, I want you to see something beautiful here. Psalm 23 is not just David's story. It's Jesus' story. It is the shepherd's story. Everything David longed for in Psalm 23, everything he trusted God for, and everything he depended on God to be, we can read that Jesus steps into the New Testament and says, "That's me." David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," and Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," in John 10, verse 11. David says, "He leads me beside quiet waters," and Jesus says, "Whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst," in John 4, 14. David says, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Jesus says, "I am with you always to the end of the age," in Matthew 28, 20. David says, "Goodness and faithful love will pursue me," and Jesus says, "Surely I am coming soon," in Revelation 22, 20. So Psalm 23 is not just a comfort psalm. It's a Christ-centered psalm. It finds its fulfillment in the one who became the shepherd, the one who became the lamb, and the one who now calls us his sheep. When you read Psalm 23, you're not just reading David's confidence, you're reading the map of your own confidence in Christ. Our shepherd became the lamb so the sheep could become sons and daughters. You can trust him. You can follow him. You can rest in him. You can walk with him, and you can dwell with him. The shepherd who provides is the shepherd who is present, and the shepherd who is present is the shepherd who pursues. Because the Lord, your Lord, is your shepherd. Step into this week with the courage of David, the confidence of a beloved sheep, and the peace that only comes from God, the good shepherd. Thank you all for the opportunity. I praise God. He is the faithful, loving, caring, and just God we can always rely on. Let's go into prayer. Father, we're thankful that you are our shepherd. I ask that you lead us beside quiet waters. We may be at ease and void of anxieties from this world. Lord, only you can restore our souls. I pray that we present the strength to receive that peace that only you can offer. As you guide us in righteousness, let us carry the hearts of men and women who know it is all from your grace. Walk with us through every valley. Let your goodness and faithful love pursue us all of our days. Teach us to dwell in your presence daily. In the name of Jesus, our good shepherd, amen. And again, I want to call on every one of us to remember that we have a living hope in Jesus Christ. Thank you.
What an awesome job. What an awesome reminder for all of us. Amen. Just stand with me. Just a couple of quick questions. Are you trying to take the shepherd's role? Are you trying to lead yourself instead of letting God lead you? Are you trying to do things your way and getting really tired? You can have rest today. You can have rest in Christ. You can give that up and give it to him and start chasing after him, knowing he's going to lead you in all the right places. If you have anything to pray for, our elders are going to be up front. If you know somebody who needs to be led by the shepherd, and you want to pray for them, this altar is open for you to pray for them as well. Let's go out of here not trying to lead ourselves, but following the one who wants to lead us beside quiet waters in the peace of Jesus Christ so that we can share him with the world. God, thank you so much for this time today, Lord. And we pray in the name of Jesus that if any do not have the peace of Christ, that they can have it this day, knowing that you are the good shepherd. Would you, O Lord, lead us, remind us, if we've taken the reins again, if we've tried to take the staff from you, Lord, help us humbly hand it back into your hands to be led by you in everything that we do for your glory, for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.